It's Thursday, July 19th. I'm Paul Joseph Watson. This is InfoWars Nightly News. Coming up on the show.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, 9/11 hijackers trained on U.S. military bases, plus bankers declare victory over the U.S. and Europe. They say we're conquered, we're done. Then Obamanoids and Obamanites converge on Austin, Texas to support the dictator-in-chief. All that and more on the InfoWars and Nightly News. And remember, none of the graphics people, news investigators, camera people, or Alex Jones or Paul Watson or anybody else did any of this show tonight. The government did it.
First story tonight, human corpses harvested in multi-million dollar trade. This is out of the Sydney Morning Herald. A grisly trade in human body parts leaves relatives grieving and some recipients at risk of life-threatening diseases. On February 24th, Ukrainian authorities made an alarming discovery. Bones and other human tissues crammed into coolers in a grimy white minibus. Investigators grew even more intrigued when they found amid the body parts envelopes stuffed with cash and autopsy results written in English. What the security service had disrupted was not the work of a serial killer, but part of an international pipeline of ingredients for medical and dental products that are routinely implanted into people around the world. So basically, you know, another example of the sick world that we live in. Turns out that people are paying huge sums of money for body parts, which basically are used. This is pieces of dead bodies from people who have died. They've took the body parts, often without the relatives even knowing, after the person's deceased. And people are buying them for breast and penis enlargements in different countries around the world. Multi-million dollar trade. Just another sickening example. Of course, we know a lot of the undercover dark trade in human body parts is completely criminal and illegal. Even this commercial side of it just sickens you. But, you know, hey, when the Obama administration says it's okay for Pepsi to use fetal cells from aborted babies in their soft drinks, declaring it normal business practice, then how far down the rabbit hole do we need to go? You know, how long before we've got a situation like the movie The Island, where humans are cloned for spare body parts? That's the direction we're heading at the moment. And it's basically, you know, welcome to the scientific dictatorship. It's 2012, you know, we've got Bill Gates, who says he wants to reduce global population, funding people to dump tons of sulfur particles 80,000 meters over New Mexico, and, you know, barely a whimper of dissent. We've got mad psychotic scientists in control, so it's no surprise that this human body parts market is flourishing at the moment with this latest story out of the Sydney Morning Herald. TSA signs off on flight school owned by illegal alien. Kurt Nimmo, Infowars.com. According to the GOA, the TSA approved flight instruction for more than two dozen illegal aliens at a flight school in Boston owned by an illegal alien. Eight of the students entered the United States illegally and 17 had overstayed their allotted time in the country. Remarkably, six of the illegal aliens were able to obtain pilot licenses. The illegal activity went undiscovered until the owner of the school was pulled over by local authorities for a traffic violation. It was then discovered he was in the country illegally. He had not undergone a required TSA security threat assessment and had not been approved for flight training by the agency. Despite this, the man held two FAA pilot licenses. And of course, we got the flashback story from just after 9/11, which, of course, 9/11 hijackers trained on U.S. military bases. And this, of course, was a story about how several of the hijackers, the named hijackers, the alleged hijackers, trained at U.S. bases. The owners of the flight schools attempted to alert the authorities before 9/11, and, of course, nothing was done. So now the TSA is approving flight training for illegal aliens at flight schools owned by illegal aliens. But don't worry, you know, they're still groping five-year-old kids in wheelchairs. They're still harassing grandmother over her colostomy bag. They're still demanding to inspect your grandfather's ashes as they throw them on the floor and cackle, laugh while they're doing it. And, you know, they're doing such a great job, the TSA agents, that they're now being exported to London for the Olympic Games for our safety. And, you know, this story again. How many scandals, how many examples of corruption do we need to see with the TSA? There's two more today. There's literally a deluge every week. We can't even cover them all. But, you know, it shows you how rotten and corrupt America is when a federal agency that's embroiled in so many scandals constantly is not terminated, does not face censure over its activities. It's actually rewarded. Extra funding for checkpoints, you know, exporting TSA agents to London for the great job they do in groping five-year-old kids in wheelchairs. And how far is it going to go? I mean, are we going to get to the stage where we've got Abu Ghraib-style torture and sexual humiliation by the TSA before Congress moves to shut it down? Just gets crazier and crazier. Illegal aliens with TSA approval training at flight schools owned by illegal aliens. That's not a problem. Your five-year-old kid in a wheelchair, he's the problem. And speaking of illegal aliens, Lord Obama was gracious enough to pay the crew in Austin a visit yesterday. InfoWars reporters were out on the street documenting how businesses were shut down, roads were closed off, and all the Obamaist worshippers were in attendance to kneel beneath their Lord, as they called for him to be imposed for a second term. So here's that report.
Do you like the fact that Obama has killed civilians in six countries overseas?
Oh, it was fabulous. We had our pictures taken with Obama.
Did you really?
Man, he was, he's just a down-to-earth, friendly guy with good vibes.
What do you think about Sheriff Joe Arpaio's investigation into Obama's birth certificate?
I think it's just ridiculous. I think it's people who need something to talk about and something exciting in their lives. I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
I like George Lopez's comments about that guy. I don't agree with the guy.
Yeah. You think he should just move on, or is he on to something, or something that just, is he doing it for political reasons?
Probably. I mean, I think he needs to move on with life and find something fun to do.
Well, you know, I've heard people say they've been abducted by flying saucers, too.
Maybe they were.
Maybe so.
Okay, what do you like about the president?
I like to say, as part of a person who has struggled with health care and my son's asthma effects, and I can't afford the health care the Advair, then I would say his health care plan to support all Americans would be, to me, the number one.
Okay. Do you hate Arabs, too? Is that why you support Obama? You like killing Arabs? Do you hate Africans and Asians? Is that why you support Obama?
Yep, pretty much.
Okay, there you go. At least you're honest. At least you're honest about killing innocent civilians overseas.
All right, we've got one that can see.
I'm here to just show my opposition to Obama's policies, how he's been shredding the Constitution with signing into law acts such as NDAA, pursuing these unconstitutional wars without as much of congressional approval.
People say that he's not doing enough. Well, who could?
When he was elected for the first time in a long time, I was proud to be an American again because big government, you know, yeah, it's kind of in order if you have a rather large country.
But the wars are expanding. Now we're in Libya, we're going into Syria, and we're going to Africa.
That's, you know...
That's different?
Okay. Bush declared war on Iraq, okay, for 9/11, when all the terrorists were from Saudi Arabia.
But we weren't in Syria before. Now we're in Syria, now we're in Libya, now we're in Africa.
We have a few spots around there, but there's a lot going on there. But I don't think we have a war going on there right now. So I think when you use the word war for Libya and Syria, that's incorrect when referring to this country and Obama. You know, there was a war in Afghanistan. There was a war in Iraq. Those are hot spots that you're talking about right now.
What do you know personally about war?
Well, I've been a veteran. I've had friends who've died, lots of people who've been injured. My brother's gotten a Purple Heart. My dad's gotten a Purple Heart. And war is ugly. And unjust war is terrible. And we haven't been in a just war in decades.
To quote our former President Bush, stop waving the...
Constitution in my face. It's a piece of paper. There's that version of how you should run America, or you take Obama's version, which he studied the Constitution, taught the Constitution, got out of an illustrious college, and could have gone into making high finance in Wall Street, but he chose to be a community organizer.
Do you think Obama's going to come down hard on big banks?
Not as hard as I want him to, but he's going to do more than the other guy would, and that's what I'm stuck with. I mean, Ron Paul's not going to get elected. I wish he could, or I wish he could have a position in the cabinet. Why the Republican Party has alienated the only politician that energizes the base, excites people, has real ideas, and can tell you how he wants to do them and bases them in constitutional law, I don't know. But they do, because what they really want is not what Ron Paul wants.
They will support Obama no matter what he says. Just like
these, were the same people that were protesting Bush. You know, we saw them. We saw the same people there protesting war, and legitimately so. But now, here we are with Obama in office, and they remain silent when all these wars. We got Libya, we got Syria, now we're in Africa. Is that crazy or what?
Well, Dahlia Wasfi and Cindy Sheehan, both anti-war activists during the Bush years, they said as soon as Obama was elected, they stopped getting speaking invites. It was never about being anti-war. It was about being anti-Bush.
If you support George W. Bush, you gotta love Barack Obama. No one kills Africans and Asians like Obama. Obama has killed civilians in six countries overseas. Did you know that? I'm full of it. I can name them.
And there you go. So it reminds you of North Korea with all the fake crying and theatrics with the death of Kim Jong-il there with the Obamanists in Austin, Texas. Now moving on to some positive news, and this really is an example to all of us. Woman pulls gun to prevent smart meter installation. This is a story I wrote, Infowars.com. A Harris County woman pulled a gun on a CenterPoint energy worker to prevent the installation of a smart meter in a confrontation that highlights concerns about the devices being used to spy on Americans' energy use, as well as possible health impacts. And basically, you can go and watch the video in the article. What happened was, this little bureaucrat from the utility company thought he could just trespass on someone's property, despite the fact they have signs plastered across it saying, no trespassing, no smart meter installation. But he thought he could just walk into their backyard and start installing this spy hub, because every other family on the block had just meekly submitted and accepted it. Well, unfortunately for him, 55-year-old Thelma Tyor Mina didn't submit like the rest of them. She actually took a gun out and told the little creep to hightail it, which is exactly what he did. And this happened in an area of Houston, Texas. And this was after, of course, he'd already trespassed on the property, started physically grappling with her and pushing her away as she attempted to prevent him from basically vandalizing her home with this spying hub. And if you consider the Strand Your Ground laws and the fact that he was trespassing, he refused to leave, he assaulted her, he's lucky it wasn't worse for him. And now the utility company's trying to take the woman to court. Massive response to this I saw on Facebook with people big upping this woman for standing up for her rights. But why are people like this lady who pulled the gun out, why are they so up in arms, literally, about smart meters? Well, it's because they're part of the Internet of Things. It's a wireless spy hub. And according to German researchers, they can actually, through these smart meters, decipher precisely what television programs you're watching. So it's not only spying on your energy use, it's deciphering your viewing habits. And there's also the health impacts. According to the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, they've done the studies and found that the radio waves emitted by these smart meters are actually exacerbating problems with people who suffer from neurological neurodegenerative diseases, and also actually causing genetic defects, cancer, and other conditions. And they're actually urging a moratorium on the installation of these devices because of these health concerns related to electromagnetic frequency, radio frequency. But, you know, that's a sterling example with a woman standing up for her rights, her Fourth Amendment privacy rights, basically sticking a gun in the face of this little bureaucrat who had trespassed on her property, assaulted her, attempted to install this smart meter that they didn't want. And again, as I said, massive praise in the aftermath of that story, which came out today with this 55-year-old Texas woman standing up against the control freaks. But another example of control freaks and bureaucrats turning into tyrants. Natural News reports shock claim LA authorities in Rawson raw milk raids were impersonating public officials. Documents and testimony obtained by Natural News allege the following. The Rawson Foods armed raw milk raids and prosecution of James Stewart and Sharon Palmer were carried out in part by law-breaking private citizens pretending to be lawful government authorities. Those individuals who have been operating under false labels such as district attorney or LAPD officer may conceivably be liable for millions of dollars in civil and criminal damages for their actions, which technically may be described as the armed robbery of Rawson Foods, including theft of cash, willful destruction of private property, criminal kidnapping of James Stewart, violation of the civil rights of James Stewart, and a barrage of other charges, basically. So it turns out that these goons didn't have the necessary oath, the authority to carry out this raid. They didn't have the authorization, and it was a completely illegal operation once again. And, you know, they're terrified. Why do we see these raids happening over and over again, specifically in relation to people who produce or sell raw milk? Because they're terrified that Americans are reclaiming their freedom through healthy, organic food, through raw milk. It's the one area where we've learned time and time again, you can completely take back control over your own life in defiance of these control freaks and bureaucrats. And that's why they can't stand it. This is a real massive movement in America to take back control over this vital area of our personal freedom. So now they're actually going and breaking their own laws to raid places like Rawson Foods and go after people who are just trying to produce raw milk and healthy organic food. Zero Hedge reports three US aircraft carriers now in the Middle East with fourth en route. And the Stennis, the aircraft carrier Stennis, will be the third carrier accompanying Lincoln and Enterprise. As it turns out, a third carrier was already en route, and as of today, the Eisenhower is either at the opening of the Strait of Hormuz or just past it. So basically, with a fifth one, with the Stennis arriving in 1 to 2 months, we've now got five aircraft carriers or five attack ships right there in the Strait of Hormuz, in the Persian Gulf, right as this escalation with Iran and Syria builds to a head. So, you know, the election's in 4 months. People have been talking about an October surprise. Israeli sources in the past couple of weeks have been jumping up and down with further at the rumor that Obama's going to give the green light to attack Iran as an election stunt. Now, we were told, obviously, that that had been delayed until 2013. Many people expected it to take place at the beginning of this year. Then it was said it was going to be delayed until 2013. Now, it seems, according to Israeli sources, it's back on the agenda again for October. Of course, we hear that habitually, but will it take place this time? The movement of US aircraft carriers certainly indicates that it's a distinct possibility. You've also got the situation in Syria escalating, of course, with the media, the establishment media, desperately trying to fan the flames of hysteria in a bid to help topple the Assad government. Of course, yesterday we had the terror attack which killed several senior members of the Assad government, applauded by the Obama White House, again, before, you know, Susan Rice, whenever a terror attack happens in Syria, Susan Rice, the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., basically uses it as a threat against Assad and says, if you don't step down, there'll be more terror attacks, because, of course, NATO and the U.S. are funding, arming the terrorists that are now overthrowing Syria. And, of course, we got the media on the propaganda side of it, endlessly regurgitating dubious anonymous tweets and YouTube videos which claim mass defections amongst all the hierarchy in the Assad government. Of course, that's Tokyo Rose-style propaganda designed to manufacture defections where, in fact, none exist. So it's all coming to a head. The warships are in position. You know, the election's around the corner, possible October surprise coming up, and the path to Persia is being bulldozed. Kurt Nimmo, Infowars.com reports, Mark of the Beast, FBI wants tattoo database. The FBI has announced it is working to establish a tattoo symbols database as part of an overreaching effort to foster collaboration, improve information sharing, and advance the adoption of optimal biometric and identity management solutions within the FBI and across law enforcement national security communities. The agency is serious about ongoing work in other modalities, including voice and face recognition, handwriting, palm prints, scars, marks, and tattoos. So basically, you can forget about the mark of the beast. They're not going to need it. They're not going to need a microchip in your forehead. They're building a database of every physical characteristic that you have. It's worse than a microchip because, of course, with a microchip, you can always have it removed. Not in this case. What they're moving towards is what we saw 10 years ago with the DARPA-style gate analysis. The molecular scanners that were announced last week, you know, that can suss out whether it be sweat, physical characteristics, even down to gunpowder. We got a tip that we're going to use it to go after gun confiscations from a law enforcement officer. So now they're going to use these scanners to process the physical characteristics of a deluge of people passing through a checkpoint at one time. And now they're going after the people with tattoos. Just every single characteristic of your body is going to be in that database beyond 1984, beyond Minority Report. And once they get all this stuff in the airports, which of course is only the beta testing phase of it, you know, the face scanning to see if you're nervous, you could be a terrorist, the interrogation booths with physiological responses with Homeland Security, the taser bracelets that they talked about making everyone wear when they got on the plane, just ridiculous. But once it's all honed in the airports, just like the TSA agents have spilled out of the airports, they're now on the highways, they're now at the bus station, the train station, even at prom nights, the technology soon follows behind them. So now we've got the FBI building databases, not only facial recognition, palm print, handwriting, scars, even down to your tattoos, in this centralization of all your physical information. Bankers declare US and Europe conquered, Infowars.com. A recent CNBC clip in which financial analysts admit to viewers that America is under the control of a group of central bankers who are building a world government is a damning insight into how the establishment has dispensed with any pretense of trying to hide their agenda as it's finalized. And many of you will have seen this clip. It aired a few weeks ago now. Basically, it's the host and all the guests on CNBC admitting that we're all slaves to global bankers. They control the economy through the printing, the mass printing of money. They can do what they like. They can take it in any direction they want. The actual economic conditions are secondary. We're at the whim of global central bankers. And this article is basically a compilation of quotes. It's, you know, the Herman Van Rompuy's of the world, the Jean-Claude Trichet, Kofi Annan, and all the rest of them, about how they're now literally throwing it in our faces, saying, this is what we plan to build. We've almost got it in place. Deal with it. Accept it. Nothing you can do about it. But the days of, you know, the conspiracy theory about a world government are over. They're finished. We've moved on from that stage. And the technocrats are now openly announcing that they're using not only the financial crisis, but also the global warming hoax that they created in terms of the financial crisis to put the capstone on the pyramid of this new world order. And, you know, they've said it's not going to be a touchy-feely humanitarian global government, as Gideon Rackman, Bilderberg member, said in his 2008 Financial Times piece. This is anti-democratic. This is going to be dictatorial world government. And, of course, people who oppose it, Americans who oppose it, have now been characterized by their own federal government as terrorists. So this is all about the process of throwing it in our faces, admitting it, getting over that hurdle, and trying to inoculate Americans against resisting it. So bankers declare US and Europe conquered. The technocrats are now firmly in control, and they want you to know about it because they don't want you to resist it. Quote of the day comes from Senator William Jenner. Today, the path of total dictatorship in the United States can be laid by strictly legal means, unseen and unheard by the Congress, the President, or the people. Outwardly, we have a constitutional government. We have been operating within our government and political system, another body representing another form of government, a bureaucratic elite. Senator William Jenner, 1954. So we're talking, what, some 65-plus years ago. The fact that a bureaucratic elite were in control was already recognized, and look at where we are today. I mean, the bureaucratic elite are certainly coming out of the woodwork on every front, from smart meters to the financial crisis to the global warming prison cities they're now building. And all indications show that it's leading towards the second American Revolution. planetinfowars.com. That's the place you can go for our exciting new social media powerhouse. We've got Ask Alex, of course, which is the regular YouTube video section where you can ask Alex Jones your question. You can host your own blog on there. You can network with like-minded people, set up activist projects, arrange meetings, special events. There's also a dating section where you can form relationships with like-minded people. Powerful new social media tool, tens of thousands of members already, planetinfowars.com. It's free to sign up, so sign up today. And also we've got prisonplanet.tv, of course. For those of you watching on YouTube, that's our multimedia website in which you'll find Alex Jones Show archives, of course, the live video stream of the Alex Jones Show, the video stream of this show. And literally, you know, it's been going since 2004, almost 10 years of archives, multimedia archives, special events, speeches, every Alex Jones documentary. And it's necessary for us because it funds this entire network. If we didn't have PrisonPlanet.tv subscribers, you wouldn't be watching this right now. So we need your support. Just $5.95 a month. We've still got the 15-day free trial running. And that's PrisonPlanet.tv. Coming up now, Alex Jones in a fascinating interview with InfoWars programmer Max Cabrera. And this delves into how what happens when the government declares war on the free market private businesses, because, of course, Max used to live in Venezuela, and they talk about how his family's businesses were targeted for a takeover by the Chavez regime. So a fascinating insight into how the government, how the state declares war on the free market.
Have you been to InfoWarsShop.com lately? Express your inner patriot with these brand new InfoWars t-shirts. Say it loud with the InfoWars bullhorn shirt, or educate the sheeple with the Bill of Rights shirt. Grope the public's mind with the TSA shirt. And with this shirt, you can let the dark side know of the Rebel Alliance's power. All available at InfoWarsShop.com.
Sick of the globalist eugenicist control freaks adding poison to your water and laughing as you get sick and die? Start purifying your water with ProPure. My friends, I've done a lot of research, and the best gravity filter out there, bar none, is ProPure, and it's available discounted at InfoWars.com. Its filters are silver impregnated to prevent bacterial growth. There's no priming required. It's NSF 42 certified. Optional fluoride filters can reduce fluoride up to 95%. Easy to set up and use. Doesn't require electricity. Purify water from lakes, streams, ponds, and wells. This filter system leaves in beneficial minerals, which is key. Save money by not buying bottled water and avoid BPA that leaches from the plastic. ProPure is the best gravity-fed filter out there. It's what my family uses. InfoWars.com already has the lowest price on ProPure. But if you add the promo code WATER at checkout, you get an additional 10% off at InfoWars.com. You can also call to order 888-253-3139.
And welcome back to this extended edition of InfoWars Nightly News on this Thursday, the 19th of July, 2012. And coming up at the end of this interview I'm about to do here in studio with Max Cabrera, we are going to go over some of the things that government built, like George Orwell in 1984, Beethoven, Rembrandt. We're going to go over all of it because you've seen Obama come out and say in multiple speeches, he's repeating it, that you didn't build a small business. If you created something, doesn't matter what it is, you didn't create it. The government did. So let me show you the front page of InfoWars.com right now. We usually change these images every day or so, but I think I'm going to leave this up throughout Friday and the weekend because, well, you didn't build that. A small child there with the Legos that she's just stacked on top of one another. And, hey, if you didn't build your small business, you didn't take the risk and deal with the taxes and the regulations and all the rest of it, well, then that child didn't build that. And if you go home tonight and get out chicken and chop it up in a salad and mushrooms and make a sauce and cook it and some pasta and put it on your plates, you didn't make that dinner either. The government did. And for those of us that study history, or even modern contemporary things like North Korea, Communist China, Venezuela, Cuba, it's horrifying because what Obama has been saying is directly out of Marxist-Leninist textbooks. I mean, everything he's saying is out of a textbook. It's what many people believe to be his real father, Frank Marshall Davis, wrote about. In fact, it's word for word, the famous communist writer and poet and also pornographer. But we are joined by Max Cabrera. He's worked here in IT for over a year and a half at InfoWars.com. He's helped us launch PlanetInfoWars.com. He's helped upgrade InfoWars.com with the rest of the IT crew. He's really helped revolutionize a lot of what we do. Well, I forgot. Chavez, because he came from Venezuela. Chavez did all the work here. So Chavez, you know, it's kind of like powered by Energizer or powered by Intel. We see those ads. Powered by Chavez. So InfoWars is powered by Chavez because Max Cabrera up here some nights till midnight. Well, some nights overnight, he didn't do anything. And neither did I. Max, you know, when I was sarcastic last night, I'm going to stop right there. This is the asinine garbage we see once your government becomes half the economy. It starts telling you, hey, you're lucky I'm taking money for you because I create everything. Max, you've told me a lot of stories, and of course most of it's been backed up in the press, about things that you have witnessed, because you've only, been here for however many years it is, in Venezuela. You're now here in Texas. You've got a lot of family down there. I know it's some personal risk of them because Chavez is such a great person, that you're here on air tonight. So we hope nothing happens to your family. You're here to speak about what you've witnessed, the nationalizations, the takeover of businesses, what's in Charlotte Isherby's book about the Department of Education, where they, tell the kids, pray for milk, and then, to Jesus, and the milk doesn't appear. Pray to the state, the milk appears. You know, those reports, I mean, this is the type of stuff that happens under a total state system. And we've seen him over the last decade become more and more authoritarian, not just nationalizing oil companies and things, but, really coming into the economy, firing people, putting his own minions in. So, again, at risk to yourself and your family, you're here speaking out against Mr. Chavez to relay to people, because you've told me privately here in the halls, the things you're seeing out of the government now, you've heard this before. Max, thanks for coming on with us.
Thank you for the opportunity, Alex. And, yeah, I've seen a lot of things. I've seen how the government takes over private companies, and then they make the owners wait for the payment. And then Chavez comes out on TV, national TV, reading all the names of the companies he's taking over, and then he laughs. And then he says, you know what, to all the owners out there, we're going to pay you, but we're going to pay you in papers. Someday we will pay you. And then he laughs about that. And this creates problems with these families because some people rely on those private companies. And now they are out there just waiting for the payment. It's been, some people have been waiting for over a year, and it creates a big deficit for them. I have also witnessed how they get these kids to pray for milk. They ask them, these little kids, to pray for milk to God. They close their eyes, and then they open the eyes, and they don't see the milk, right? So they ask the kids to pray again, and this time to pray to Chavez. And then when they open the eyes, they see milk in front of them. Just to create this mentality that Chavez actually can give you everything.
Unbelievable. What is it like for you when you see trendies wearing Che Guevara shirts or Lenin shirts or restaurants named after Mao, who killed more people than Hitler four times over? What is it like when you see trendies praising Chavez?
Well, I feel like sometimes they don't know what's really going on, and they feel like because some of his ideas seem good, everything what he does is good, but it's not true. I mean, the socialism idea, when he talks about it, is very nice. It's beautiful. But the reality is that it doesn't work. He doesn't apply it very well. And he's basically taking all these private companies under his command and creating this problem in Venezuela, which is basically, at the end of the day, all the companies are going to be under the government, the power of the government. That means all the people in Venezuela are going to be under that control.
How long has Chavez been in?
It's been 13 years.
Because I've researched some of the history. Before that, there wasn't the big power outages. There wasn't the big shortages. Not that it was perfect, but Venezuela was developing. How have things changed in 13 years in Venezuela?
It's been changing dramatically. Every time I go back to Venezuela, if I go there twice a year, and every time I go there, I see more poverty on the streets. I see more deficit of food or supplies that people need, like, for example, like the milk, sugar, eggs. Chavez has been taking control of the prices of these elements, right? And then the companies can make a profit out of them. Therefore, they can produce them. So what Chavez does is take over those companies, or he goes to another market, to Brazil or Colombia, to import these products, and that's how he's supplying. But he's been controlling these companies so much that they really can't produce anything to put out there. So when you go to the grocery store over there, you don't find sugar. You don't find eggs. You don't find milk.
What you were explaining is that around here, we don't think of SIM cards or as little data cards or anything, but there, if you have the money, you can't go get it. That's what happens in the Soviet Union. Everywhere you have communism.
That's right. That's right. I mean, here, sometimes we see so many things normal, and where I come from, we appreciate having those things available. For example, I like going to the gas station and getting the basics that I need for my house. Over there in Venezuela, not even in the grocery store sometimes you can get them. There are black markets for milk, black markets for chickens, black markets for a lot of things. I mean,
and you were telling me the communists didn't control that part. They control the black market that they've created.
They are black markets because people can't buy them on the grocery stores. And this black market is created by some people that are involved with the government and some people on their own. And
go over some of the stories, because I've got a million questions here. It's so intriguing. We've been talking for over a year and a half about all this, and so much of what you talk about, again, is confirmed in the news. But it's not just big companies they're grabbing. Describe what you've seen in your own family and friends.
Yes, well, my brother-in-law, he was working for this company. His father was the owner, and the government took over that company. It wasn't a big company, but it was providing supplies to another big company. So they decided to take over that and take control of the production. He lost his job. Immediately he was out of his job, and he was trying to figure out how to make it again, how to support his family.
But you expanded. They put one of the special people in his place.
No, they took everybody out, all the owners and the people below the owners. They took them out and put new people in.
Exactly. So they put their people in. Yeah.
Yes, they don't know what's going on with the company now. They took over, and that's it. They are still waiting for getting paid.
Well, that's what Lenin and Stalin did, and just totally collapsed. But they always do that. Mao did that, and the Chinese say, their official government says 80-plus million died. Our government says it's 64 million. But, I mean, they do this every time. And I see these yuppies and people going, we want socialism. There's 100% employment and everybody's rich. They have no idea that Paul Watson in England, one of the richest countries in the world just 50 years ago, has money, works hard, you know, middle class, one of my highest paid people because he gets the job done, loves liberty, you know, produces, works 16 hours a day. You can't, you know, stop him from working. In fact, I want to thank him for hosting the news part tonight before the interview. From England. He was sick for a month, couldn't get rid of this chest cold. Went to the government health care, and they gave him a little pack with some aspirins and some stuff in it. And he said, no, I want to go to a doctor. And they go, we have to give you permission to see a private doctor. So even if you have the money, you've got to get permission from them.
That's crazy. That's crazy. That's something that it shouldn't be that way. In Venezuela, there is a free care system, so you can actually go to the hospitals without paying anything. The only problem is that really those hospitals are not being supplied with the things they need.
Just like Cuba. Oh, you can go to the hospital, but you're not
going to have anything. They usually have machines that are broken, or they don't have the things they need to create to make a surgery. Sometimes they ask the people to bring them, and if you can't get them, then you can't get your surgery. And
so you get the drugs, the scalpels, the kits they need, and then the doctor knows how to do it. But I mean,
yeah, but you have to get it on your own.
And all these spoiled yuppies, you know, going and getting their government paid for college degrees or welfare or whatever, they are dreaming of this.
Yeah.
And they have no idea what they're, I mean, communism has never developed anything but total suffering.
That's something that I see here in the U.S., that the government wants to take over all this debt. And that's something that Venezuela does as a socialism country. Like, they pay for education, they pay for medicine, they pay for the gas. So that's why we have the cheapest gas in the world. But what happened is that the government gets so much into debt that they can't really afford everything in a good way. So, yeah, we have free education, but it doesn't work. We have free healthcare systems. They don't work. We have all these things that the government provide that really don't work because they can't support them because they are getting debt and debt all the time.
Well, I mean, more than that, it doesn't reward producers. And that's why, in fact, I said I'd play the clip. Do we have the clip of Obama? I want you to watch this because, right. I mean, I know Chavez has that weekly TV show on Sunday nights or whatever.
Right.
I mean, and I've seen the transcripts because I don't speak Spanish well. But, it, I mean, it sounds like Lenin, Stalin, you know, Mao. And then I hear Obama literally saying word for word what Chavez is saying. So I'm gonna play this and tell me if you've heard this from Chavez. Here it is.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hard-working people out there. If you were successful, somebody along the line gave you some help. There was a great teacher somewhere in your life. Somebody helped to create this unbelievable American system that we had that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. The internet didn't get invented on its own. Government research created the internet so then all the companies could make money off the internet.
So, Max Cabrera, what do you say to that?
Well, first of all, Obama doesn't have the right to say that to the people. I mean, I believe people can accomplish things on their own because of their hard work and dedication. And nobody should say that about your goals, that the things that you have accomplished in your life. And
well, my horror is that's the standard thing that collectivists and statists say before they really take over.
Listen, something that I see with Chavez is that he fires people from companies, and then he goes to national TV and read their names and laugh.
So it's part of the rubbing it in. That's what Obama's doing. It's this over the top.
Like bullying people. Like, this is what I'm doing, and there's nothing you can do about it. Nobody can stop me. And that's what he's based about.
Well, God's stopping him. He's got cancer.
Well, let's see what's going on with that. I mean, it could be a political movement so he can get people talking about him. Or it could be true, like nobody knows what's going on.
Well, we've been talking about this for a year that he's had cancer, but he looks like hell. I mean, that's
yes, he's been looking very bad, and he's looking better. But it's a big question in Venezuela what's really going on there.
Well, I don't even wish any harm on Hugo Chavez because he's not lining people up, at least in public, shooting them as bad. Other some persecution. Mainly, it's just they just take your house, they take your property, they take your business, they come in and then put their people in, and then they don't know how to do it, and then it all falls apart. It's just crazy.
That's right, and that's happened several times in Venezuela. They even take over apartment complex, buildings, and if the owner of the building hasn't finished building the apartment complex, then people can take over that, and they just become the owners, and the government supports that. They have stopped some of those invasions. But the concept that Chavez puts out there is that one where socialism is good and that's where it's going to create success with everybody.
And you notice as the socialism doesn't work, they get more and more authoritarian.
That's right. It doesn't work, so they have to take over in a more aggressive way. Because people are waking up in Venezuela. Some people are realizing that it's been 13 years and they are even hungrier than they were before. There are less jobs out there. And they see the private companies leaving the country. So that creates poverty. Without private investors, then the country doesn't grow. We need that help. I think in the U.S., they have to really evaluate what the government should be paying and what not. I think people should be able to decide.
Well, government picks winners and losers. I mean, you're always going to have cronies. You're always going to have monopolies. Once you get a big, giant government that's handing out the contracts, it's one thing if government gets together and people agree on in that state vote, let's build a road. And there's some taxes. I mean, infrastructure, yes, can actually help people. But once you get government to the point of where it decides who gets it, I mean, the corruption comes in.
Right. The corruption comes in. That's right. I mean, at the end, it's the person with power that gets the last call. That's how it is.
Well, I mean, here's an example. Apple's coming to town, and they just out of the gates get a decade of no taxes and even get a bunch of other incentives. Formula One, This guy has made tens of billions of dollars. He's been giving his daughters, here's $3 billion a year, here's $2 billion to you, here's a $200 million mansion in California, the biggest in the U.S. Well, if they had actually earned that, if they'd written a novel that was popular, made a song, invented a computer program, I'd be like, great, live in a $250 million house. The thing is, all over Europe and all over the United States and all over the Middle East, Formula One that guy owns, people can pull this up, gets government to pay to build the track and give them tax exemption. My money, your money, you live in Austin and pay taxes, going to build a guy, I think, so he can go, here's $3 billion to this daughter, here's $2 billion to that daughter. Meanwhile, I made phone calls a couple years ago, and I was thinking about expanding, which we've done, and I couldn't even get phone calls back or meetings about giving me some tax exemption for a few years.
Wow.
Now listen, we're almost up to 50 people, Max. We just hired 6 last week.
We're growing.
We're growing, and I'm, here, live here, boom, real local
Born
stuff,
raised, yeah.
And I don't get anything.
That's right.
Because I'm not a big globalist fat cat. They run the system.
But we have to give for other people to build their stuff with our taxes.
Yeah, I mean it's like the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. He got over $1 billion of taxpayer money. They paid to build it, and he got tax exempt to build the new Dallas Cowboys stadiums. That is incredibly profitable. Listen, make your money. But that's what I'm saying. For people that like hate Chavez or Stalin and stuff, that's pure communism. They call it socialism. But there's this crony monopoly capitalism. It's not really capitalism. In fact, I don't like that name, crony capitalism. It's crony insider mafia. And it's those guys worldwide that are actually wanting to convert us to socialism and communism that you and I are under. So they take our money and then they game the system. They're exempt offshore. And then the public's too dumbed down to understand the sophistication of what we've got here is like a mixture of socialism, communism, and fascism. It's more of a more nuance. It's a sophisticated tyranny. And what's happening, Max, is it's growing faster and faster, and you see the prosperity, just like in Venezuela, being sucked out. But I'm ranting here. I mean, you've got some points you want to make.
Well, basically, we have been going over those, and I want to say that I'm really concerned that, yes, here you guys have a communism that is very sophisticated, that it is growing. When the president takes decisions without consulting with anybody, that's communism, and that doesn't take to anywhere good. And I say this because I come from a country that the president, it's like that. People trust him, so he takes the decisions, and people agree with him, and then they realize that, well, that wasn't the right thing to do, or maybe we shouldn't be doing this. And you can tell right away when you go to Venezuela, if you go today and then you go in 6 months, you can see what are the effects of applying this socialism to the communities. And it's just all the private companies go away and the government takes over and then you're depending on them.
Well, it's just like North Korea. They're driving cars from the 50s and 60s they imported. They can't even build cars. China lost 80 million of its people and finally let in some free market and limited stuff and basically use their people as slaves. So that, I was reading where top generals are worth 600 million, 800 million, a billion. And they didn't do anything. They just sit there and the communist, very small percentage in China, it's not even communism. It's just a bunch of rich people with machine guns enslaving everybody and taking over the businesses. But China totally collapsed. So they went to kind of a partially, free market system, but only for a certain group. And I think it's the Chinese model that the Rockefellers and others advised them on shifting to in the late 60s, early 70s. China shifted from a pure communist to kind of this amalgamation or this dialectic. But it is, we've got to get political scientists. I guess I'm a political scientist of the, free type. To really get outside the box and rewrite the names for everything. I mean, what do you call that when you have so-called free countries that are clients with communist slave masters that enslave their people, make them work 18 hours a day in apple factories, and they're jumping off the roofs and killing themselves, so they put suicide nets up and start drugging them, and then you've got Al Gore on the board dancing around saying it's good. I mean, he's liberal. I mean, it's just none of these names mean anything. These are just criminal thugs.
I just think a lot of people haven't seen the reality of this. I believe that there are a lot of good people out there, that if they find out about this, they will probably change the way they act when they go to big stores or when they go to vote. I mean, people really have to wake up to what's going on and what's behind the cameras. They can support they shouldn't support somebody that supports slavery to produce something to make a profit. That just doesn't make sense. But I really believe people don't know it. They just don't see what's going on.
Or you can't even buy a computer hasn't been made in close to slave conditions. I mean, if I see something from Taiwan, I try to buy it over China, and then they argue, well, you're just going to take jobs away from the Chinese workers. No, in many cases, in Mexico and China and India, wages have gone down under globalism. It didn't raise them up. It drug everybody down. But then you read the globalists designed all this as a black hole, because the poorer we are, the more they can buy everything up.
That's right.
I mean, it is cold-blooded.
That's right. You can actually say that's what's going on in Venezuela, but in a smaller scale. People are poor over there. Therefore, the government can't control them. There is nothing they can do because they don't have the means to do it. So it's the same thing in around the world. The people with the money, with the control, will create a system so they can always come out as the winners.
And see, if I was a top globalist, I guess I wouldn't get in that position because I wouldn't be parasitic. I would try to reverse it to empower humanity so great that we could just break out and do incredible things. But again, they're so envious and jealous of human potential, they'd rather shutter everything just so they can control.
Nobody can be better than them. That's what's going on. Nobody can be better than them. If you don't want to empower people because you don't want to compete with them, you just want to have them under control. Competition is something that gets people.
But see, I felt so good this week when Mike Adams came in and did 2 days of the show, and at many levels did a better job than I would do. And then I called Rob Dew up and I said, take this call where he talked to a guy about military gun confiscation and killing Americans. And I said, come in, cover the UNIDIR documents, cover all this, and then go into that and then put it up. And it went viral. And I could sit back and watch that and say they did a really great job. They executed it, and it wasn't me up there doing it.
Right.
And I guess for them, they don't. Though I'm malfunctioning, because for those that are survival of the fittest, they'd rather dumb everybody down so they could be the fittest in a kingdom of enslaved, dumbed down people, and that is just incredibly wicked. I mean, for me, that's the ultimate sin.
And I'm concerned because I see a lot of people following dumb shows on TV, really avoiding the real problems. Today I was listening to a show, I was on the road, and the guy started talking about, like, people really don't focus in the real problems. And then he started talking about some random things in Hollywood. So even some people that they think they are covering the real facts, they're just giving away a bunch of things that we don't need to know. We don't want to know about how some family is living or how they spend their money. We need to know about what's going on in our country, what creates us, how we're going to survive, how our kids are going to survive here.
Well, that's it. I mean, we haven't progressed past the Roman system of building a gladiatorial event, killing people, and you're cheering for somebody getting killed, your neighbor, one week. The next week it's you, but you don't care because you've been brought into the spectacle. We're following an ancient system. They say, get away from the Bill of Rights, Constitution. It's old. No, it's the most revolutionary thing to ever come. That's why they attack it. Mm-hmm. It's only 200 and something years old. What we're following is pre-Dark Ages. It was what the Romans, really that is the system. Rome fell, but they went to the Venetian black nobility, as they were called, there on the city-states that were left after Rome fell. That was then exported to England and France, and that's the model we're living under. In fact, all mainline historians even know that. It's not debated. And we live under the Roman Empire model that is dumb everybody down, get them on welfare. That's what they do in Rome. They would give you bread and some coins just so you would be dependent, because they didn't want you going out and starting a business and competing with them. They wanted you dumbed down, living in a little tiny hole in the ground, but with a little bit of bread each week.
Well, I guess here in America, there is no problem if you're dumb, because anyway, you don't do anything. The government does everything for you.
Well, that's it. In 1776, it was really the flower of the Renaissance. But also in the middle of the Age of Revolution and the age of, you know, all those conflicts that happened. And it was like, no, humanity's good. We're going to build you up. The individual is what's going to create something great. And then collectively, if individuals want to get together for ideas, then there's a choice in that and there's power, but it's collectivism through choice.
Right.
I mean, because so there is something to collectivism, but it's the choice to join the collectivism at limited levels when you wish. So it's the power of the individuals together that then creates something that the collectivists are afraid of. And that's why Obama and all of them always attack the individual, because the idea of the individual being empowered threatens them. I mean, it's really that simple.
It is simple. And an example for this will be planetinfowars.com. Our social network, if you see all the articles, there are amazing articles there that we're promoting InfoWars, and a lot of art that people are creating. So you can see, yeah, there is a lot of people out there with so much potential to provide new things, and it's a shame those people are not getting more light on them.
Well, that's what's happened. We only got like 30,000 members right now. It was in beta. It's still in beta. And, you know, some of the articles get posted on InfoWars. Some of them get, you know, tens of thousands of readers. Most of them only a few hundred. So everybody get in there, talk to each other. This is for you. Right. PlanetInfoWars.com. And it's a building. I mean, I think it's done quite well. But it's still, again, in the beta process.
We're
you have
learning.
The newest ones up
day.
There.
Yes.
But if you click most popular.
Yeah, you can see the most popular groups.
Yeah, and then also down at the bottom, you can go down to the bottom. And you can see the last 30 days, what people voted up, the last five all time, what people voted up. Again, this is about you, and it's only in beta right now. So planetinfowars.com. Go check it out. Get involved. Please like it on your Facebook. Get it out on your Twitter. Help us. I mean, look, we've made InfoWars an incredible success. Prison Planet, the nightly news, the radio show. It takes time. People ask, how have I been successful? Standing up for liberty, being focused, passionate, working 18 hours a day, many days, for 17 years. But now things are moving into a new level. We need to move quicker against this tyranny. Where do you see things going? I mean, you see people are waking up to Chavez, but he still gets magically reelected. What's really happening there? What do you see happening with Chavez? Who is the opposition in Venezuela?
Capriles is the opposition in Venezuela, and a lot of people are expecting for him to win. There is a concern if Chavez wins again, then people get used to being controlled by the same person. So you can have somebody in control for so long because people get used to it. Either it's good or bad. And there are chances that Chavez could still win. We just need to wait and see. If the elections are controlled or not, I can't really talk about that.
Well, somebody as arrogant as him, and I mean, I don't think he's going to get power up.
Let's see what happens. It's hard to tell. People in Venezuela, they don't know. I always talking to people, reading the news, and it's a big question. Nobody knows what's going to happen. We just need to wait and see the results.
You want to talk to folks in Venezuela in Spanish real quick, Max? Just say a few words to them. Sure, go ahead. There's a camera right over there. Look right into that one. All right.
Bueno, a todos los venezolanos, nada más quiero decirle, mandarles mis saludos y desde aquí lo estamos apoyando, hablando sobre las noticias de Venezuela y estamos pendientes pues de lo que sucede por allá. Vamos a cubrir las noticias y quiero invitar a Capriles a una entrevista aquí con Alex Jones. Siempre estamos pendientes de lo que pasa por allá. Muchas gracias y saludos a todos.
All right, buddy. Right. And hey, in the future, we're going to start at least once a week and then every day having Spanish news blurbs, right. Maybe 5 minutes long. And we're working on all of that. In fact, we've got a reporter who's bilingual coming in today he should be here. So that's very exciting. We're getting a lot of stuff launched here, ladies and gentlemen. And it's thanks to you. We're not like people like George Soros that get taxpayer money out of bailouts and then fund all these groups like Media Matters and Think Progress that are calling for us to have our funding cut off. I mean, they actually wrote articles about that yesterday, saying we've got to get InfoWars and Prison Planet not linked on Drudge because they're sending tens of millions of views, you know, page views a year. It was 30 million. And I guess between WorldNet Daily and my site and all of them, it might even be that many. The point is that total over a year, it's about 15% of our traffic on those sites. As they pointed out, some of it was accurate, 30% of our traffic sometimes in a week. But, I mean, that's not all. We have the syndicated radio, all the other stuff we're doing. That's almost 90% of it. It's like 85% of what we're doing. But it just shows they're like, we've got to shut off their funding. We've got to shut them down. I mean, that is just so un-American, so anti-liberty. And then it's White House run, and they're tax exempt. They would never let us be tax exempt. Again, it's a rigged game because they're the enemy. So go get a 15 day free trial at prisonplanet.tv, and then sign up after that for 15 cents a day. It takes about a minute to go sign up. You get six memberships for the price of one. Six people can use the same username passcode. Just use a passcode that, you know, that's new. Don't use your bank account passcode. And tell people about prisonplanet.tv. Like us on Facebook. Real Alex Jones at Twitter. Call into talk radio. I mean, you've got the power. We're on Boxy, Roku, prisonplanet.tv, Max Cabrera, and the other great IT people have busted their butts to make the site work really fast and better. You've seen it become revolutionized. I mean, we're doing so much in the face of this tyranny. I mean, they've got internet kill switches, all this coming in. And that's why I'm putting everything I've got now into expanding in the face of this. Please stand with us. We are revolutionizing resistance to tyranny. This is 1776 Part 2, and it's worldwide. Tyrants steal your money and organize it and use it against you. Vote with your dollars. Spread the word about Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. The Wright brothers didn't do what they did with government's help. So many of the true trailblazers did what they did while being attacked by the state. You take Galileo pointing out that the earth was not the center of the universe and being locked up by the government of that day, the corrupt church. Government is not the answer. It is the problem. And when the government fears the people, there is liberty. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. And that's, of course, Thomas Jefferson. And, of course, V paraphrases Thomas Jefferson when he says, Evie, the people shouldn't fear the government. The government should fear the people. It's that simple. All of the nobodies that couldn't get a job, who aren't popular, they go and get in positions of power that they create for themselves, and then they bring in more people like them, show that you have to pay attention to them. That's what the presidential alerts onto your phone are about. That's what all of this is about. That's what Janet Napolitano in the Walmarts on jumbo screens saying, don't trust your neighbors, they can be terrorists, only trust us. It's because they are the terrorist. We've seen this in history thousands of times. It's repeating itself again. It's repeating itself again right now. There have been thousands of cultures and hundreds of countries with government after government. And this type of tyranny is the norm when good people don't organize against the control freaks. It's that simple. And that's why now I want to break down people that did it despite the government. Because, again, Obama is saying you didn't build jack squat. The government is the reason we've got anything today. You didn't build that. I know I've been harping on this all week, but it is just so incredible. Big government, in every case in history, creates insane nightmares. Take the Roman Empire during its decline, each emperor getting more insane than the last. Just like Kim Jong-il or Kim Jong-un or their grandfather in North Korea, Caligula married his horse, fired the Senate that had been puppets for hundreds of years, and made his horse the head of the Senate. Nero burned Rome to expand his palace, or part of Rome. He famously fiddled as it burned. This is what they do. This is what happens when you let authoritarian crazies get in charge. And the bigger the government, the more that danger increases. And the more the government's just disconnected, too, and kind of stomping on people and individuals because it can't deal with it. It's local control, local freedom. You know, I saw a comment on InfoWars today. The person was asking, Alex, what's wrong with global government? Well, it's kind of like fire bulkheads or water bulkheads in a ship. If you hit an iceberg or hit something and one breaks, you've got bulkheads. It doesn't flood the whole ship. Countries are like firewalls. No firewalls in a house. You put a big firewall in the middle of the house, so if a fire starts, you can run it through two stories. It doesn't leap over and burn the other side of the house. It's very inexpensive to do compared to the damage in the lifetime of that home. So the best analogy is states. You got 50 states, and some don't allow gay marriage, some do. Well, you can just move to one that does or move to one that doesn't, depending on your view. Some states have restrictions on abortion. Others don't. You can move to the state you agree with. Some states have state income taxes. Others don't. You can move to the one that doesn't or does. Some states have guns banned, and crime rates are, 10 times higher or more, but you can move there if you like living in Chicago with hundreds being killed every week. Again, that creates choices, real diversity. See, we're all taught discriminations about race or even religion or sexual stuff, but where the real discrimination history comes from, this whole race thing's pretty much new in the last 1,000 years or so. Before that, it was about what class are you from or what specific, you know, religious group. See, it all comes down to insiders only giving contracts and jobs to themselves and creating laws to shut down their competition. Big government is a nightmare, and it always promises the young and dumb all this Valhalla and not having to work, and you'll get somebody else's money. And then early on in the process, actually some of that happens, but power is being amassed. Money is being skimmed off the top. So I thought here tonight we would just do a brief expose, just off the top of my head before the show tonight. I just thought of some of the trailblazers who did things without government backing. And still, other famous folks like Lewis and Clark, they had some government backing, but it was still about their individualism to go out and do that. So certainly I recognize that people collectively can get together and build a dam, build a road, you know, create a militia. I mean, there's all, but most of that should be voluntary. So if you agree with it and envision it, then you, I mean, people go out and buy organic food to where now it's about half the food on store shelves. 10 years ago, you couldn't find it. That was just voluntary voting with your dollars, changing the landscape of things. But continuing here, let's go over some of the people that did not have their success through government but themselves. Ludwig von Beethoven was a musical genius, even though in the last 10 years of his life he's pretty much deaf. Some of his most powerful symphonies came out of that, just from the feelings in his mind and physical vibrations that he felt in his body from the sound. Beethoven actually liked Napoleon and big government at first, but later turned against it. You can actually look into that, and became more of a libertarian when he had been somewhat of a statist, but that was his mental processes. Beethoven produced his own music, played it out on his own piano. Beethoven, yes, worked through other talented musicians, but his mind envisioned that music. So that's why I'm starting with Beethoven, because that flowed out of his mind, out of the incredible human spirit. That is so uplifting. Beethoven. Obama, you say that he didn't build that, he didn't do that, he didn't write that. I say you lie. I say you're a fraud. I say that little child right there built those blocks. And other entrepreneurs came up with the idea of Legos so that she could later build that. The state did not do that. The state delivers the Soviet Union, Communist China, Mao Zedong, it creates North Korea. I mean, Cuba can't manufacture cars. They're driving old 50s and 60s vehicles. It's a joke. Continuing here. Moving on from Beethoven. 1984, Eric Blair, a.k.a. pen name George Orwell. His book, in a way, actually did come out of the state. The nightmare that he saw out of Stalin when he had been a communist and believed in it and went and fought in battlefields in Spain and other areas and got shot in the throat, you name it, he found out the communists were as bad as the fascists. And he worked in the BBC and propaganda during the war. He discovered that these governments needed each other in tyranny and the governments were staging terror attacks. So he wrote essays about how 1984 was the nonfiction book he got published as fiction, basically, of what he had experienced and seen. So in a sick way, Obama, you're right. George Orwell didn't really write 1984. I mean, he did, in all its incredible prose and, you know, piercing understanding of life. But what makes it so real is a lot of it is composites of what he witnessed in the Spanish Revolution and so much more. But again, you didn't write 1984, government. Your murderous exploits, though, was part of what propelled him and gave him the impetus to write it. So in a sick way, I guess Hillary says her favorite book's 1984. You're not supposed to use it as an instruction manual, though. Continuing here with the Mona Lisa. Do you think that the painter of the Mona Lisa got their inspiration from government and was able to do that with that eye and that skill? Because of you. Let's move on from the Mona Lisa to Rembrandt. What a Dutch painter, right? Just incredible light. And he did that with a paintbrush and could capture the life in the humans and then bring it out in such a real way where it was even more human than human. He could capture that magic of humanity, whether it was a woman chopping up apples or whether it was an old man by candlelight writing. Rembrandt could capture that magic that is more human than human, that spark. And there's so many other examples where you could also take just casual lines like Picasso, but still capture that as well, but in a flowing movement that only took seconds to create. But again, you didn't build that, you didn't write that, you didn't paint that, you didn't compose that, you didn't perform that, you didn't do jack crap. Obama and the state did. They directed it. They're the great artists who create such nightmares as North Korea and Nazi Germany. They're the ones that create the hell that is Cuba, the hell that is Venezuela. They paint with large brushes in hundreds of millions of blood. Continuing, Frank Lloyd Wright, falling water in all those incredible homes that he built and designed for individuals all over the United States. You as an architect did nothing. You did nothing. You didn't build that. And, of course, the Wright brothers, who started their own bicycle company, bicycles invented by what, Italian? Or bicycles invented by the Italians? Invented by European inventors. People argue who invented that or radio or anything. Wasn't government invented radio? I forgot Marconi. Like five other guys the same week announced it because human development and imagination and the 100th monkey syndrome had gotten to that point where that was developed. But again, government didn't develop it, didn't even understand it for decades. But side issue, the Wright brothers have a bicycle company, became moderately middle class wealthy, nouveau riche, new rich, to use the French. They became nouveau riche with their bicycle shops, their custom bicycle shops, because that's all there was. There wasn't big factories. With most great new inventions, it's small, like automobiles or trains. They were first built by little cobblers, little inventors. You know, I thought the state did it, though, even though 90%+ of inventions always came out of individuals until Eisenhower warned us that we've been taken over by the military-industrial complex. Within 30 years, from the 30s to 1960, you can look this up, they flipped from over 90% of inventions being cobblers and small companies to government with 90% of the inventions, saying they invented it, going out with taxpayer money and buying up all the inventors and all the shops and sending the FBI to raid people like Nikola Tesla and others who were inventing things they didn't want out there, calling it disruptive technology. That's what they call it today. Now, the truth is, government has suppressed technology conservatively 35 years. Many estimates are 50. And that's part of their wild power trip now and all the underground bases and facilities is that they admit, oh, we got a lot of stuff you ain't seen. Yeah, you took human ingenuity, spied on them within it. They admit the NSA's main job. You're getting heavy knowledge here, folks. I hope you understand this. The NSA's main job is not trying to stop terror attacks that they're staging to get more power. It is spying on people to see trends coming, to be able to predict mass movement, future events. They really do have crystal balls now, but they're mathematical. That's only general mass movements. And so, and of course, I told you that about 10 years before Google admitted it. They now say they have, quote, a crystal ball and can predict the future in mass movements. You can look that up if you're a new viewer and are still living in 1970. You think you're living in 2012, you're really living in 1970. I am living not in 2012, but in 2047, the year we're really at. You understand that? Oh, yeah. Anyways, I don't know if you can handle stuff this heavy, folks. I'm going to start letting you into the full breakdown analysis here. Now, the issue here is, I could have said 2045, it doesn't matter. That's where the globalists really are. With all of our stolen technology, they take underground, literally, in many cases, and into their national security complexes. They saw the power of the individual. They wanted to harness it so that finally mega state could come. Finally control freak state could come. Finally the hunchback inbred globalists who hate humanity could feel like they were really superior to us when the whole time they've crept around in gangs like vampires grabbing us like Little Red Riding Hood when they could. They're weak and they know it. They're stunted spiritually and at every other level. And so here you have the Wright brothers who invent the first aircraft and launch it by themselves at Kitty Hawk. Not the government. Not you. And so they go and take over the research just by stealing massive amounts of money from the public. They bankrupt the economy by design, declare an emergency in 1933, with the reorganization, the Emergency Powers Act, begin getting people dependent, taking part of their paycheck to put it into mega funds that the globalists could use to take over the rest of the world while getting you dependent. So that's the larger strategic program there. While suppressing technologies and suppressing our civilization at a lower level with faulty tech that has back doors built into it where they can spy and surveil and control us, while their high-tech grid has been built off of our ingenuity and systems, which they don't even know how to properly use from a tyrannical view because they're stunted even though they have the computer interfaces to give them answers because they don't have full spectrum analysis because they are spiritually blind. That is the larger issue we're dealing with here. Now, continuing here, Ben Franklin, let's move along. Now to Ben Franklin here. Ben Franklin, love him, hate him. He was probably an Illuminist, but he thought he was rebelling against the church and things. Discovered electricity, harnessed it, invented lightning rods that have saved trillions in property damage, invented hundreds and hundreds of things, was writing books when he was like 14 years old, traveling all over the Atlantic on ships, an incredible life, absolutely hated big government and talked about how nasty and terrible it was, and of course helped pioneer this republic that we built. Ben Franklin hated big government. Ben Franklin did it without you, Obama, and all the control freaks and what you try to do to humanity so you can sit on top of a pile of skulls. Ben Franklin says, go to hell, Obama and Stalin and Lenin and Hitler. Go to Hades, where you belong. Get out of here. We're sick of you parasites, and the sleeping giant that is humanity is waking up to you. Continuing here, I want to look finally at Gutenberg. You know, Gutenberg, 500-plus years ago, you see one of the five books they originally printed of the Bible right out here at one of the museums in Austin. Like, I meant to send a team. It was 2 weeks ago. My mom went and saw it. It's not always here. We should go see that Gutenberg Bible. They got a bunch of the other first books printed. It is magnificent. You can go right in with cameras, guys. In fact, I want to go over there next week. We went to the local the Natural History Museum, the other piece, because I'm one of those evil people that send all this information. You can say, oh, printing press, big deal, print a book. Hey, there were people tried to develop printing presses for hundreds of years. They got burned at the stake or killed because the system knew that they couldn't control information anymore with a small technocracy on top cloistered if those printing presses got out. So Gutenberg finally, because he was in a freer country, despite all the oppression, he was able to put out a printing press that worked and was able to deploy it, and it revolutionized the world. It is to them what the internet is today and beyond, because without that, you wouldn't have the internet. I mean, it is the equivalent of light speed propulsion. It is the equivalent of anti-grav. It is the equivalent of transmitting data that our fellow species members have developed and that would be taught and then lost because you had to, speak it down through the ages and, try to write it down and then the nuances could be lost. This incredible thing of language was released to us by the Gutenberg Press in Gutenberg. And it was done despite the fact that governments and the church opposed it. Again, he built it. You didn't, scumbag. Shut up, liar. My God, you're an abomination. And all of your ilk that create North Korea hellholes, you are the plague. You are the enemy. You are the antichrist of the human spirit. You are a total threat to everything. You cancers. I will rout you out. By God, I've sworn on the altar of God, eternal resistance to every form of tyranny over the mind of men. You are blasphemous. You want our minds, you want our souls, and you ain't getting it. No matter how many people you pump up on Prozac and the rest of it, they've still got spirits and we're going to reach them. I want to thank government for bureaucracy, for dusty, dirty government buildings. They're so lazy they can't even mow the grass at government buildings here in Austin. I want to thank you for all the pot-bellied people you've ruined, taking their destiny away. I want to thank you for the feudalism, the dark ages created by government suppressing technology. I want to thank you for everything you've done, you trash. Folks, it's natural to hate these people. This is your normal instincts. You have it for a reason. Your brain is incredibly powerful. You haven't turned it loose yet. It recognizes the enemy. Our species defeated all of the big cats, the bears, the diseases, the weather, everything by the grace of God, the tools we were given. We are not meant to fail because a bunch of psychopaths get together and try to dumb us down so they can squat on top of us in the mud. Activate humanity. Unleash your potential now. Don't worry, it won't happen overnight, but the countdown has begun. The thawing has begun. I can see it. I can see the DNA, the electricity firing. I can see the pistons begin to hammer. Don't worry, a black smoke blows out the back of the engine at first. That's only humanity coming to life. Get ready, because what the technocrats and collectivists fear has already been released. And nothing but God in heaven will stop it. And God in heaven won't stop it, because God is the author of it and the author of your destruction from the foundations of this world. That's it for this edition of InfoWars Nightly News. We'll see you back tomorrow on the radio and back here on television, God willing.